This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca, as you can probably tell by my voice. A tad bit under the weather, which is a bit of a problem considering I'm headed to Montreal tonight. Gee. Start again. Coming down 3, 2, 1. And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca, as you probably can tell by my voice. A little bit under the weather, but we're going to fight through it. And let's start with, of course, what happened earlier in the week as the Maple Leafs let go of Mike Babcock. I guess it's not that big of a surprise. We were talking about with Leah back on Wednesday. You can distribute the blame all you want, but this is why coaches get fired. You're not going to fire general managers and presidents and rechange the roster. Kyle Dubas did not hire Mike Babcock, and so he wants to bring in his own guy. Sheldon Keefe is a guy that has been through the wars on the lower levels and was a candidate for many jobs, including the Ranger job before they hired David Quinn. I'm sure he'll do a terrific job. So it's not surprising from that standpoint, but here's what kind of irritates me is that here's Mike Babcock, and you might not like him. I guess you talk to Mike Commodore. He certainly is somebody that is not a fan. He's accomplished a lot in his career, both internationally, taking the Ducks to a Stanley Cup final, surprisingly so in 2003, of course, winning a cup with the Detroit Red Wings and getting Toronto into the playoffs consistently, something that nobody has really done in a couple of decades in Toronto. Not being able to get past the first round, really not being able to get past the Boston Bruins is the problem. They're light in certain areas, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've had to give the contracts out to the Nylanders and the Marners and the Matthews, and they've got some juggling to do with the salary cap. But the one thing that maybe irritates me more than anything else, I can live with Babcock being out of a job. He'll get hired by somebody probably before the season is over, if not definitely at the start of next season. But the rumors that you hear that he's just not the coach for the millennials, that he lost the room, that bothers me. I guess it bothers me as a 51-year-old, an old-school type of guy, just because of the fact that what have any of those kids won? Now, I think they're all terrific, all right? Don't get me wrong. And I'm sure they're not mean-spirited and probably aren't doing this intentionally. But how do you not listen to a guy that is won at every level? How do you not listen to a guy that's got a gold medal around his neck? How do you not listen to a guy that's got his name etched on the Stanley Cup? Now, you guys might be able to go out there and score a ton of goals, and you're young, and you've got your whole life ahead of you. But I just don't like this whole idea that's happening in sports now that the older coaches just aren't relatable to the younger generation. I'm sure this has been going on in sports forever. But is respect lost that easily? That you can lose the room just because you don't like the way the coach talks to you, or you don't like the way he might discipline you, or that he might yell at you, or he might raise his voice, or he may bench you if you made a mistake? Have the inmates run the asylum to the point where if they get their nose out of joint at all, the organization have to bend over backwards for them? I understand financially that's the way it works because you're investing so much money in these players, guys that are signing 7-year contracts worth tens of millions of dollars. Obviously, the guys, the coaches, the older people are going to be expendable. But there's got to be a halfway where you can, and I use the example in the NFL with Tom Coughlin. He was, if you're 5 minutes early or 10 minutes late philosophy, he kind of eased up on that a little bit, and the Giants win a couple of Super Bowls. I understand you got to meet halfway, but to just have that contract and to have that skill and just, oh, I just don't like the coach talking to me that way, and that championship caliber coaches are out of jobs, to me, I understand it's a young man's game, but experience still means something. Going through the wars and understanding what it is to win a championship to me still means something. And when you've got a bunch of kids that haven't won a damn thing, shouldn't be allowed to dictate who their coach is or how their coach should be able to talk to them. Joel Quenneville's able to do it in Florida. He came in with his rings jingling and jangling, and he's been able to turn that team around. They seem to be listening to him. Now, is that because they've got some more veterans on that team? Or is eventually Joel Quenneville going to lose the team after the next 5-6-game losing streak? I'm not sure, but there has to be a way in the young man's game, where experience still has room, where a voice can still be heard, between analytics and the millennials, it's almost as if they want to take their ball and go home. And then anybody's been around this sport for any length of time, they've got no use for. Well, you want to run the show? Great. Then go out there and win. But until then, why don't you listen to somebody that's done it? Now, do I know all the ins and outs? I'm sure if I talk to any Maple Leaf or somebody that's covered the team or somebody that used to be a player for Mike Babcock, like I said, Mike Commodore, will tell me that he's too mean-spirited, he's too heavy-handed. I'm sure there's a lot to that. But I just get this sense in sports now that out with the old, in with the new. But what is the new one? And there's a lot of good people in this sport that kind of know how to win. Look what's happening with the Islanders right now. You got a good, young team that just does not know how to lose a game. And as much as the Barzells and the Eberlys and the Varlamovs and the Grices of the world are responsible for that, Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello deserve a ton of credit. Structure. What do you hear when you listen to hockey games, you hear hockey games, you hear things like structure? Where do you think that comes from? Do you think these players want to go out there and just follow like rules and paths? No, they want to go out there and they want to play. But the structure is what keeps them on the path to winning games. Because it's a long season and there's a way to win and there's a path to winning games. Just going out there and just being better than the other team, just flying around with your pants on fire, that'll win you a few games. But is it going to get the games that are needed? Is it going to be able to find the consistency that you're looking for? I mean, you can look at some of these teams. You look at what's happening in Calgary right now. You looked at what happened in Toronto before the move where, yeah, the talent's going to get you some wins, but then when you need the structure and the discipline, when you want to try to find the consistency, it's not there. And then all of a sudden, the only thing that is consistent is losing. So let's talk about the Islanders. Another win last night. They find every which way to win. Really, the only pain in their butt has been the Pittsburgh Penguins in this incredible 16-game stretch in which the Islanders are 15-0-1. The Pittsburgh Penguins have actually been able to get 4 points from them, which has just been incredible. But the Islanders are right now, we're going to do our top five of the week. The only reason they're not the best team in the NHL right now is because they played 4 less games than Washington. But I got to see Washington play against the Rangers. They're a terrific team, and they don't have a lot of holes. But right now, the Islanders are just better. It's a different hero every night. You know, Brock Nelson is now playing out of them. Brock Nelson, right? Brock Nelson's a solid player. He's not a superstar by any stretch of the imagination, but under this system, that's what breeds winning. I mean, I really think this reminds me a lot of those Devil teams. I mentioned this earlier in the week. Now, those Devil teams didn't score a ton of goals, but their goal differential was always terrific. Good defensive structure. But if you go back to those early 2000 Devils teams with Arnott and Eliash, they could score. And this team's got, you know, a Barzell is a singular talent who's only going to get better and he's only going to grow. And now this team is actually starting to get healthy. This is no fluke. This is a team that needs to be paid attention to. 15-0-1 is absolutely, positively no joke. Now, they're going out west, and sometimes that could be a bit humbling, but right now, I know it's only November, and they don't hand out cups in November, but this team deserves to be paid attention to. They are absolutely awesome. Another team that is just playing out of their minds right now, the Florida Panthers. We brought it up when we were talking about Mike Babcock. Joel Quenneville, and I was there in Florida last week, has instilled in this team an ability to stay in games, to not give up. It happened again last night. Down 4 goals, come back and win the game. That's not supposed to happen. Win the game 5-4 in overtime. It's the second time they were down 4 goals and won a game. That hasn't happened since the 83 Oilers. If Trocheck can stay healthy and Bobrovsky can only get better, he's off to an awful start. The Florida team could be very dangerous. Now, what does that have in common? And that's no offense to all the coaches that they've had in the past there, whether it's Pete DeBoer, you go back to Bob Bugner. Joel Quenneville steps in there, and all of a sudden this team believes. There's talent on that Florida Panther team. That team is very talented. I mean, I got to see Tampa and Florida back-to-back. The Panthers are not far behind the Lightning as far as talent's concerned. And if Bobrovsky finds his game, this could be a team that can challenge Boston for the division. They really could. Now, you don't want to always fall behind. That can be a bit disconcerting, but just the ability that they can score, that they don't have any quit in them whatsoever, that's a nice thing to have for sure. Boston gets back to their winning ways with a 3-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres. Sabres now in free fall after a terrific start, now 10-9-3 to start the season. Philadelphia beats Carolina 5-3. Blue Jackets get a win. They have to win. You're playing Detroit. You got to beat the Red Wings. Red Wings have only won 7 games this year. So a good win for the Blue Jackets. Let's keep an eye on the Flames and Bill Peters. We talked about it with Leah back on Wednesday. This team should be better than they are. They're not really playing to their level. They're 2 games under NHL 500 at 10-12-3. And they were shut out by another team to contend for maybe the best team in the NHL, the St. Louis Blues. The Blues have proven to me, obviously, that last year was no fluke. And since the coaching change, you look at what this team has been, and it's been the best team in the NHL. And they're getting the goaltending, which is something that was always the missing piece for them. This Blues team is outstanding. You have to watch Sharks and Golden Knights now. It's like kind of a must when those teams play. And what a terrific game last night. A victory for the San Jose Sharks. They bounce back after having their 6-game losing streak snapped. And it was a game that San Jose pretty much had control of for most of the way. A lot of hitting in this game, a lot of physicality for sure. Even the Golden Knights got a lot of shots. It was Timo Meier getting the goal early in the second period, and that was it until midway through the third period when McNabb got his second to tie it up at 1. But then Logan Couture in overtime on a great feed from Vlasic. I mean, you got to see the replay, and he scores on the breakaway, gets the rebound off of Fleury, then finds the 5-hole to beat Fleury. That is turning into one of the great rivalries in the sport right now. When those two teams play, you got to watch. And they just very rarely disappoint. And I'm looking so forward to seeing the Golden Knights, too. They've been a little bit of a disappointment so far this year at 11-9-4 when everybody thought they might have been the most complete team in the NHL. I'm going to get a chance to see them in a couple of weeks out in Vegas. I'm looking forward to that. Kings surprised the Oilers 5-1. Oilers were the hottest team in the NHL. But I guess they sleepwalked through this one, and they just could not get up, give up an early goal to Tyler Toffoli a minute 32 seconds into the game, and it was lights out. So the story for as far as Edmonton is concerned in this one is that Connor McDavid scores again. 16 goals in 24 games. 44 points in 24 games, he could get to 170 points, which just would be unbelievable. So even in a very, very disappointing night for the Edmonton Oilers, what a job. He continues to find a way to get points. And pound for pound being the best player in the National Hockey League, and I'm really looking forward to seeing exactly how many points he's going to finish with before this season is over.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top 5.
Yeah! All right, for the first time in the Top 5.
Number 5.
We're going to go with the Florida Panthers. Why not, right? I mean, a team that's come back twice from 4-goal deficit, 6-3-3 on the road, 6-2-2 at home, so there's a level of consistency there. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. They've got points in 8 of their last 10 games. I mentioned Trocheck being healthy is really a big thing for them. Barkov is probably the best player in the National Hockey League you're not talking about. Their blue line, I think, is very deep, and they're playing some tremendous hockey with Bobrovsky still not finding his way. I've got to believe that he's eventually going to find that Vezina Trophy caliber play, and once he does, watch out for this Florida Panther team. They can be very, very dangerous.
Number 4.
Number 4, we're going to keep the Boston Bruins in the top 5. Again, they slowed down just a bit at 5-2-3 in their last 10 games, but this is a team that still has not lost a regulation home game, although they have dropped 4 games in overtime at home. It's the late 0-4. Is outstanding, but the Boston Bruins, very deep, played without Bergeron, he gets back into the lineup, everybody's contributing in some way, shape, or form. The Boston Bruins, to me, are still in the top 5.
Number 3.
Let's go with the Washington Capitals. That's right. Why are they only 3, Don? Well, you know what, they're banged up, right? I mean, they're playing without Carl Hagelin, which is a guy that brings a lot of speed, helps out on the power play, that's missing, and of course, you're missing Nicholas Backstrom, who's probably the best power play center in the National Hockey League. And Ovechkin, I watched him on Wednesday, and he just did not show up. I think I mentioned his name four times during the course of the game, and one of them was because of a penalty that he committed. Still, tremendous team, but they played 24 games. That's the most, tied for the most in the Eastern Conference, and only one shy of how many games Calgary's played at 25. So that's kind of doctored the numbers up a little bit, but their goal differential is still very outstanding at plus 17, but three is not bad.
Number two.
The defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, 33 points. They are just incredible home, road. It does not matter. You lose Vladimir Tarasenko, it does not matter. They are a terrific, terrific hockey team. Also 7-1-2 in their last 10. They've won two in a row. They, to me, are the second best team in the National Hockey League because...
Number one.
Yeah! What's left to say? 15-0-1 in their last 10. Spot Pittsburgh a two-goal lead twice. So what? We'll come back and we'll win. Oh, we blow a lead late last night on the Hornquist goal with 30 seconds to go. So what? We'll still win the game in overtime. You want to play physical? We can do that. You want to open it up? We can do that. Doesn't matter who's in goal. They've alternated between their goaltenders, Greiss and Varlamov. Still win games. That's the consistency of a team that's the best in the NHL. Doesn't matter what night it is, they're bringing it. Doesn't matter who's in goal, they're bringing it. Doesn't matter who's hurt, they're bringing it. Doesn't matter where the game is. They're bringing it. Those are the things. They're the earmarks of the best team in the National Hockey League. All right, let's hear from you to close out the week. At Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Troy says, is there a team that you feel Babcock could come in and instantly turn things around? My mind is on the Wild. I think they have a lot of pieces that can thrive under the system. Well, here's the problem with the Wild. One of the reasons Bruce Boudreau, in my opinion, has the job, still, despite the fact that there's been two changes of general manager, is that they don't want to have to pay him after he's been fired. So now you're asking to continue to pay Bruce Boudreau and then pay Babcock a lot of money. I don't think that's going to happen. You wonder, does New Jersey, if they make a change, go after Babcock? Is that the team that does have some talent? That could also send the message to Hall that you want to stay there because they went out and got a big-time coach. You know, Calgary might be firing their coach. They've got a lot of talent there. You want to look for a team. I don't think Babcock is in a position where he wants to be involved in a rebuild. I think you want to look at a team kind of like the way St. Louis was last year. They're on the cusp. They just need the right buttons to be pushed. So is it Calgary that could come to mind? Is it New Jersey? San Jose? That would pop to mind as well if DeBoer was ever let go. Those are kind of the teams that kind of pop into my head right there. Aaron says, in your experience following the NHL, have you ever seen anything like Jared McCann being sent to the locker room by accident and having to be chased down by a teammate? And what is the strangest, wackiest moment you can remember? Well, obviously the strangest, wackiest moment. The two that pop to mind, Aaron, to me, and no, I don't recall the McCann thing ever happening before, is the Eat Another Donut Fat Boy with Don Kolarski during the conference final in 88. We've talked about that. And also the incident with Chris Neal flicking blood at the Rangers bench. I remember calling that game. That was crazy, too. Those are two of the things that kind of hop to mind for sure. Forever TH says, do you feel that how the young players are acting after the Babcock firing, that they should coach more of a veteran group in his next stop? Also, in my opinion, Keith Dubas era gets to the end of next season, and if nothing improves, a move needs to be made. I think there's a possibility there. There's a lot of pressure in Toronto. Dubas is given a chance to hire his coach. If that does not work, he probably will not get an opportunity to hire another one. So that might be what happens there. Let's see. Ryan says, hey, Don, how about your New York Islanders saving sports in New York? This team has just no quit, records being set, multiple crazy ways to win. How fun is this? What a time to be alive. Well, like he's got an avatar as an Islander fan, so you know what? Doesn't get any better than that. His top five, Panthers 5, Stars 4. Stars also another good one. They've completely turned it around after the 1-7-1 start. Blues 3, Caps 2, and the Isles 1. That was very close to mine. David says, with Babcock out in Toronto, Pierre LeBrun brought up the idea that Babcock could be a prime choice for the expansion Seattle franchise. He's familiar with the area with the WHL coaching days. Do you think this would be a good fit, or do you see him elsewhere? That would be a great way to start the franchise, right? I would not rule that out at all. I think that would actually be a pretty good idea. I don't know what relationship he has with Ron Francis, but I think that would actually be a very, very good hire, and that would be a good idea. James says, do you think the Islanders are legit now? I don't if this is a Stanley Cup team just yet. I don't think. I guess he lost the word think. I don't think. I'm not sure either. I mean, when a push comes to shove, can they beat Boston in a playoff series? Could they beat Washington in a playoff series? Those teams have been there and done that. But I will say this, James. I believe, unlike last year, Lou will pull off a deal at the deadline. I could see that happening. Ozzy wants to know what's the problem with Bobrovsky. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a change of scenery. I watched and called that game on Saturday. There were times he just was fighting the puck. He wasn't seeing the puck really well. So I just think it's just a matter of time before he finds his legs. Tom says, Tyson Barrie scored his first goal last night. Do you see him as a better fit under Keith? Absolutely, I do. Or if he struggles, can you see him being traded since he's a UFA next summer? Well, it really depends on where the Toronto Maple Leafs are at the deadline. But I do think that Barrie is the perfect guy to get turned around by Keith. But I do see if this team's out of it that he is definitely going to be a piece that easily can be moved. All right, guys. Well, I want you to enjoy your weekend. Hopefully I will feel better. Again, I am not covering the game in Ottawa, but I will be in Montreal for the Rangers and the Canadiens. So we're looking forward to that. Back with you again on Monday. If you want to get in touch with me over the weekend, the best way to do that is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Again, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Back on Monday with EJ Raddick. This, of course, was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.